You're listening to The Voice of the Valley, KROX in Crookston, Minnesota, 1260 AM and 105.7 FM and 92.1 FM in Grand Forks and East Grand Forks. It is 20 till 11 AM here on this Friday, January 26th. So I am now joined by Corky Reynolds here on our Valley Talk program. And Corky, how have you been?
I've been great. Weather's different and interesting, but still it's enjoyable. And the city's been doing a lot of things in the last couple of weeks.
That they have. Where would you like to start?
Well, one of the things that is important for people to know is that the city at its council meeting on Monday accepted the engineer's preliminary report regarding proposed street improvements in the city. And there were designated streets that we'd like to see improved. And the notices will be going out very shortly to the people affected by that. And they'll get their proposed assessment or their estimated assessment based on the engineer's estimated costs. And they will have the opportunity to come on February 12th to a council meeting and express opinions about, do we need to do it? Is the assessment appropriate? Too high? Too low? Well, it won't ever be too low, but they'll have the opportunity to express their opinions regarding that. And that's an important thing to get done because we do need to have work done on various streets in Crookston.
For those who aren't aware, are you able to speak on which streets?
We know for sure Houston Avenue. That last year, the infrastructure underneath the surface of the street was put in, allowed the opportunity for that to settle, be compacted so we don't have shifting. We know that street will be done for a total reconstruct. We've also put out some streets in the southeast portion up by Guthrie Street, up in that particular area, and then two state aid streets, specifically North Broadway, all the way from maybe we'll call it the Five Corner stop out to Fisher Avenue. We'll be doing a mill and overlay there and adjusting the sidewalks. Those sidewalks up there are in really bad condition. But the good thing about state aid roads, which we're anticipating too, is that the state money pays for that entire project. So that's a good thing for us.
Yeah, very good thing. And what's the significance of making sure that these streets are getting done? And then also, what's the process like? Because, you know, I'm sure that there are other streets that are probably on the borderline of they might be able to get worked on, but they might, you know, that might be something that could be pushed back to a later date.
Well, in the past, it's been pretty much a subjective kind of assessment by our public works director as well as our utilities supervisor. But if people recall, we have contracted now for an engineering firm to come into the city this spring and summer to do a more thorough evaluation. In fact, all of the streets will be analyzed with a combination of individuals actually walking the streets and then technology equipment, whether that be sonar, whether that be lasers, to give us a baseline for the condition of each street in the city, and then with analysis of the data, creating a workflow chart, like which streets are in the need of repair immediately, which ones fall into a middle tier that they could maybe take work, but we could defer a little, and then ones that meet the baseline standards. That will be done this summer. So by the end of summer, we should know the baseline for all of our streets and the infrastructure underneath.
And then the citizens that live on those streets, they have been notified of like, hey, this is what could be happening?
Well, it'll be all of our streets. So they may see people walking the streets. They may see vehicles going through town with electronic equipment. They don't have to do anything. There's no invasive procedures, generally speaking. But there may be some core samples just taken on each street so we see what below the surface is like. But there's nothing that people will need to do. There's no assessment for those analysis. That's something the council has budgeted and elected to pay.
Well, and that's something that we've talked about on previous Valley Talks, is what goes on beneath the surface is something that, you know, we don't really think a whole lot about, but that is very important when it comes to redoing a street, because you could find yourself in that same position, you know, just a couple years later.
Exactly. You know, underneath is probably more important. It's kind of like an iceberg. What you see on top might be 20-30% of what goes into an actual functional street. What's below the surface, the amount of packing, the amount of, or the type of below the surface materials. You know, the city has never really done that in the past. We do have records of when things were done, but never done an analysis. And that's something the council, I think, wisely chose to do to get us a baseline so that we can project budgeting for a number of years ahead. It's not guesswork. It's based on data.
And it's not a nearsighted thing, too. This is a very farsighted project or projects.
We've asked for plans for 5 years and 10 years. So we'll have that kind of data available so that future councils can make decisions based on what we think is objective information and not, well, I think we did that street, and I think that's what we'll know what's underneath, and we'll know what's on top, the number of cracks, the volume of cracks, their extent, those kind of things.
It's a lot better to make a decision when you know rather than thinking or guessing.
Exactly.
And speculation. That can sometimes go sideways.
It can. Yes, it can.
What else took place on Monday?
Well, one of the things that we did was the council approved the bathhouse for Central Park. The Crookston Campground is being improved, very, very much improvement. The campground sites itself are almost ready to go. And then we need a bathhouse. The old bathhouse has been torn down, and the council gave approval to a bathhouse to be brought in. It's a pre-construct. It'll be brought in, lifted up with a crane, and then placed on a site that's being prepared. It'll have concrete walls, and then the bathhouse will be a four rooms for family bath, family-friendly, changing tables, those kind of things. And the council went ahead and approved that, and we anticipate that that will be delivered maybe the latter part of April, first part of May. We do have a deadline for the actual campground to be completed of June 30th, 2024, and then we can incorporate that bathhouse in, and I think we'll have a really, really good campground here in Crookston, and we'll begin marketing that to travelers from throughout the United States, and we'll have a real good place for people to come and see Crookston, to stay one night or multiple nights here and enjoy the amenities, the things that we have here.
Is that a big reason as to why this is this project is going?
Yes, it is going to be part of this newer, here's what Crookston has to offer. You know, we do have many, many things here. And as a city, we probably have not marketed them or, if you will, bragged about the things that we have here. And that goes hand in hand with the council's decision and budgeting for a marketing and events coordinator here. We're in the process of, and I think that'll be completed today or early next week, of developing a job description, which we will post nationwide, to get a marketing and events coordinator here in town to be responsible for talking about the many things that we have here that maybe many of us take for granted. I can give you a couple examples. You know, the ice show here in Crookston, it's a really, really quality event. Maybe people in Crookston, grandparents, parents, kids know about it, but not many other people necessarily come. Certainly the communities around us who have students in the ICE program, they know about it, but get that marketed far and wide. That's one of the types of things that we have. We have community theater events. We have all types of sporting activities. We just don't get that out, and one of the ideas is to market that more appropriately, to say we've got things to come and see, spend a day, spend a weekend, spend some time here in Crookston. We need to do that, and that marketing and events coordinator, that's the intent.
Is it just for that, or is it also to bring people in for, you know, possibly to live, either businesses possibly to say, hey, this is a great place to start a business or expand your business as well? Or is it just mainly for the events?
Well, it can be worked with and in coordination with the EDA. Certainly, it's not zoned in on just come for the events, but many times people establish their belief about what a community is like by the events they come to initially. But certainly the EDA is out working to bring businesses, business development here. And if we have additional amenities, just another factor of why to be here. And the EDA, the council talked about some of the industrial park development on Monday night. The EDA is working hard, along with department heads here in the city, to create the environment at the industrial park, also called Colburn Property. We're working on a potential development of a railroad spur out at that facility. Because of development for the future, the state is emphasizing the fact that they want to reduce usage of fossil fuels. Well, with a rail spur, you can avoid this trucking all the way to St. Paul or all the way to Duluth. You can get semis off the road. You can use railroad transportation instead. That's just one of the many things. And the EDA, as well as the city, is in conversations with potential users of the industrial park. There are a number that are very interested in developing an area there. You'll remember last year, we put in a 10-ton road from Ingersoll Avenue. Well, there could be development along the west side of that property, talking about extending that road so that future businesses development can have access to that. So there's a lot of initial conversations, and down the road, hopefully we'll be able to bring in some business entities out at that park.
What's the end goal for that industrial park development plan?
Well, to get all of that basically remaining 90 acres filled with businesses, whether they be manufacturing, whether they be offices. In fact, on Tuesday night, there was a meeting of the Planning Commission, and they looked at a potential rezoning of part of that part along the west side of the property adjacent to Highway 75, and they're recommending to the council that that zoning be changed from what we call I-1 heavy industrial to I-2, lighter industrial, which offers and affords potential businesses a broader range to come in. And, you know, the heavy industrial is more the manufacturing, like American Crystal, like those types of things. I-2 can have office space, you can have research facilities, as well as lighter types of industries and businesses. And that's recommended to the council for them to act on the 12th.
And you mentioned, you know, a railway possibly, you know, being out in that way, and that's to, you know, take away the semi-trucks, and also, you know, you were talking about the fossil fuels too, and is that going to be something that is a more efficient? Is that kind of the goal or the thought process behind that?
It is more efficient, and it also reduces your carbon footprint. As an example, there are entities in this area where they have to truck their products all the way to St. Paul, and then they're shipped back to Duluth. Well, if we can get those trucks from this area to deliver to that potential rail site, then they can rail it directly to Duluth. So you get a lot of fossil fuel off of the road, and it's quicker, so it can be more effective and more efficient. Again, these are the preliminary type things that our EDA is working on very conscientiously, and I think we'll see in the future we'll have more meetings with our EDA, with the Department of Employment here to see how we can move those forward. There's certainly a lot of money in the federal budget for those types of things, and hopefully we can access those through the use of our EDA and Minnesota deed.
Do you anticipate some type of timeline where there might at least be more concrete plans or ideas in regards to this project?
Well, we hope so. We hope that within the next calendar year there can be some kind of more definitive explanation and definitive action to facilitate newer entities. We have one right now. The North Star Lime is an up-and-coming entity. They're moving ahead forward. They've received both state and federal grants, and potentially they would be able to use this area and this rail spur, among others.
Let's switch gears a little bit, talking about the Crookston Area Community Fund.
Yeah, the Crookston Area Community Fund is not directly associated with the city, but it's a fund that has a long history, and they have a number of different funds that are available for projects that people would consider engaging in. I know that starting on February 1st, there will be an application available for fund distribution. If you have a project in mind that you'd like to see within the city, those funds would be available. There's an application form that will be available. You state, this is my project, and certainly how many people will involve, how many will it affect, and then what you think your funding needs would be. It's not really a grant, but it's, here's what I'd like to do, here's what I think it'll cost, here's how we'll be impactful for the city, and I'd like some money. And I think that will be basically a pretty simplistic form. You know, it's not going to be 10 pages long, but a citizen, if they got a project, a community garden, a number of different things, how it will affect positively people in Crookston, get one of those applications and fill it out and get it submitted, because there will be a board, if you will, or a group, a commission, who will look at those, look at the funds that they have available within that, and then decide, sure, we'd be glad to fund that. So that's coming up, and that's one of those kind of hidden secrets about Crookston. Not many people are aware of just what the Crookston Area Community Fund is, what they have available, but there are many, many categories which could be considered. And for the longest time, they've had distribution of funds, but they really want to get that out there now, saying, hey, you got a good idea for Crookston? Be innovative about it. Come, nothing wrong with getting an application in, see if you can get some money distributed to you to carry that out.
Is this another thing that the marketing coordinator could kind of promote?
Absolutely. Those events in Crookston, the marketing coordinator hopefully will be that point of where you bring them in, and they get that out on whether it's the Crookston website, other websites, and get it out to the surrounding area. We are situated ideally to have people come in and experience these things, but we got to let people know. We got to market it. We got to expand our horizons to say, we got some things here that are really good. Why don't you come and take a look?
Before we wrap up our Valley Talk here with Corky Reynolds, City Administrator, it is late January, so naturally we're going to talk a little baseball, as there was a grandstand that was just put in.
Right, the up at Jim Karn Field, there's an installed new stadium seating behind home plate in front of the press box. The Crookston Baseball Association has been the chief driving force behind that project at, and I believe it's 144 stadium seats. And what I mean by stadium seats is it's not bench. It's not bleachers. This is a seat that you would get at any major league baseball park. It folds down, folds up. It's that hard type plastic, if you will. And you got cup holders. You can have a beverage there. Now, not adult, but you can have beverages when you're there. Much more comfortable. And it's very, very conducive to watching a high school game, an American Legion game, and the Baseball Association has worked really diligently as the chief driver behind that. And you ought to go up to the park, maybe not now, but soon, take a look at it. It's impressive, you know. It's cool and something that you don't just see anywhere.
And what was the purpose behind getting that, getting these seats, was because you can't get that everywhere.
Exactly. It's much more comfortable, much more conducive to watching a baseball game. And also, you know, the Baseball Association is a nonprofit. They need to distribute money. And one of the things they thought about is hosting state tournaments for maybe the amateur level, the Legion level. that is one of the factors that will make our application more agreeable and acceptable. The fact that you got stadium seating, and that's would really be an incentive for one of those organizations, whether it's amateur baseball or American Legion, to say, sure, Crookston, you got something that's really exciting and really makes that event special.
And it's not just a handful of seats. It's over 100 seats of stadium seating. That's impressive.
Exactly. It's not a small number. It's not 25. Yeah. It's not 30. It's 144. And each one of those is a really, really good seat and comfortable. You know, coming out to a ball game, sitting on bleachers, you really got to be a baseball fan to go, yeah, I think I'll do that when it's 45 degrees. Stadium seating folds down, much more acceptable and enjoyable.
Put your water in the cup holder and take in some great baseball.
Exactly.
Well, Corky, thank you very much for joining us on our Valley Talk program once again. Look forward to talking with you again next month.
Yep. All things considered, it's on my calendar. I'll be here.
All right. That sounds great. Thank you very much, Corky.
Oh, you're welcome.
So that was Corky Reynolds, the Crookston City Administrator, here on today's Valley Talk program.